Accession number 23218, room 5.
Colonel Goodman set, Reel 5. I think you were saying that the area where you got ashore was
fairly clean, yeah. Mm. And the main thing now was to get control over how many of my troop or my group has come ashore. And we had our meeting place. That was, of course, a very, very prominent thing because it was a big rock standing up just before we moved towards the battery. And as soon as I got hold of control over it, I found that 14 of my 18 men was already there. So we started to move towards the battery. And luckily enough...
So there are now five of you.
Yeah, the five of them was somewhere around. Mm. And I couldn't wait any longer because we had to get on to the battery. And the first of all was that the sooner you got out of the beach landing area, the sooner you got out of the... There was partly small arms fire, but there was quite a lot of artillery fire coming down.
So you were in a killing zone on the
beach. Yeah, of course, but you get there. Mm. So I saw a ditch going in a half around in front of the battery before this rock, just behind this rock. Mm. That was completely, more the bottom was covered with German soldiers killed. So the first move, we went through this ditch and we were out of fire, especially from land side, and got very close to about 100 yards from the battery. So through this ditch, we just moved it across those laying in the bottom that didn't do us any harm.
What distance was that, do you think, you managed to cover by going along that trench?
Oh, I would say about 20 yards.
Yes.
15 to 20 yards.
So you gained about 20 yards. By going
and that of course was in a very difficult area as far as firing it or the bombardment was concerned. And then when I got out of that ditch, the rest of our company was in front, was assembled there and was down in a different position in that area. Mm. So the next move we did, together with the rest of the company, we got hold all the way front onto the west side of the battery where we were going to be to give our support fire to the attack coming.
What numbers were in the company at that stage? How many of them were left overall, do you think?
But we were together 72 that landed. Mm. And out of mine, 18, I had 14 at least. But you know that the two of the other 14 came later on.
They turned up later.
Mm. But two were could not be found. Mm. And then the whole number 5 troop that was in, I would say about, took us approximately between 40 minutes and 50 minutes to get on our position at the battery. Mm. And then we were moving on the battery, we were moving and finding different positions, covering positions, and where we could supporting fire to the battery or to the 41 Royal Marine coming from the other side. And we were so close onto the battery that the first group were very close to the air canal from the battery coming out. Mm. And we started to fill those openings with Mills hand grenades.
So you're putting grenades into the ventilators?
Yeah. All over the place. Yeah. And the strange thing was to see that when the first left, on the left, that was for my troop, put on their grenades in order to hear them, or the explosion from underneath. They got more and more brave and went over and also in more or less in uncovered position, went out and dropped in opening canals, which I could not reach otherwise. And we could recognize movement on the ground because you know that there were so much places on the ground we could recognize there were movement and sounds coming from under the ground. Mm. And then the Royal Marine 41 Royal Marine came on, and as soon as they got in, the first one started to come out with white flags. So it took us less than 2 hours, I would say an hour and 20 minutes, to capture the whole battery. And then, of course, the group, when the first two or three came out, then it started to come up in groups of five or ten or so on. And the whole crew from under the ground came out, and we just with our weapons showed them back to the beach, where every group taking care of them.
What sort of condition were they in, the men who came out of the battery?
They were shocked. And you know what shocked them more? When they saw the Green Berets. Then they started to, don't shoot, don't shoot, don't shoot, not kill me, not kill me. That. So that you know, we always used the Green Beret, we didn't use helmet. Even after the bombardment, we didn't, they all take in use helmets and so on. And I think that had a psychological effect on the prisoners right away. Mm. So then of course that the battery was clear and captured till around about 10:30 in the morning, probably close to 11.
From what you've been saying, it sounds as though the weapons that you found most useful were grenades, because you haven't mentioned actually using your small arms to shoot.
No, we had nothing to shoot on. We could shoot, that we had to shoot on was the prisoners coming out to giving themselves up.
Mm.
So that we just told them, showed them the way with our guns, of course, back to the beaches. Mm. But we didn't have any opening fire before the storming and so on. 45 Royal Regina was getting in line or getting in position to storm and get in through the doors and so on. There was no need of all coming out.
What weapon were you carrying? I know you were carrying a lot of grenades.
I had a Colt pistol, that was all I had.
You didn't carry a rifle?
No, not at that time, no. Mm. I got hold of a rifle as soon as I moved into the country, yes.
Mm.
But I only had the Colt pistol.
Do you know how many Germans you captured at the battery?
I would say around 100.
Mm.
They came out from all places. You know, the battery underneath the ground, they're covering such a wide area.
Mm.
Also, there was one group going up to the north along the dike to a single gun staying out alone further north. When the Royal 41 Royal Marines started to move up, they came out also out of that hole. And the Royal Marine commander then, instead of waiting for consolidating, they just moved on right away towards Domburg.
It sounds as though they were holding the battery in about company strength then.
Yeah, something like that, yes.
Came out, yes.
There were different types of batteries. Some were, but we had exactly similar type of this battery in Domburg. Mm. And there was approximately the same number of prisoners coming out there too.
Were they German naval troops, or were they...
No, they were German. I think it was coastal artillery troops, yeah. I think so, yes. So we saw, we didn't see much of them on the uniform at all. But you know that we were prepared to that as soon as we had captured the beach, and probably that the battery had given in. We then awaited the great bombardment from all the batteries on the island, and that started off. And of course there was no difficulties whatsoever, because then we had captured so much sheltered, concrete sheltered places, that we were staying underneath and enjoying probably the bombardment that didn't do us any harm at all.
What was the German battery like inside when you went into it to shelter?
We didn't go into it. We had time for that.
You didn't?
No. We went into it at further north in Domburg.
Mm-hmm.
And of course it's a little country town in its own, you know, that with kitchens and sleeping rooms and God knows what. For lots and lots of people.
Sounds like they had every home comfort.
Yeah, of course they had, yeah. Mm.
Did you manage to capture any food or anything else of any value?
That's what we had. The first, because we didn't get any supply at all, the first thing.
Mm.
So we lived on German food to start with.
What was that like?
It was all right. Mm. And of course we it was a small sort of, I couldn't call it a lake, but there was a pig swimming around in there and got out of his house. Of course, that had been met by some grenade or something. So we killed that pig and cooked that during the first night. And so if you saw and the pictures from that film, and then we held up the head of the pig and then part of the side of it, the head of Hitler, and took a picture of those two. So I think then, of course, what we did then, when we got this bombardment sort of stopped it after nearly 2 hours, they bombarded us there. But that didn't do any harm at all. But then we started to recollect and get through with the troops and get over, see what we had left, what casualty we have, and what had happened to those who were wounded and so on. And then we had a little sort of, that night we slept on the side of the dike, and most of the night we used talking. From my troop, we had lost two had fallen, and we had six wounded. But two of the six wounded were only slightly wounded, so they got fairer.
What was the mood like then after this successful operation?
Very, very proud. They know, of course, there was nothing stopping them. There was nothing stopping them. They thought proof that they are the world best soldiers in the world. And there was no hesitation for the next coming move, which was to move further north and so on.
What means of communication did you have to keep in touch with your rear link and so on?
We had only, we had only the 19 sender, also the radio set, the yes. 19 set, and then we had this small walkie-talkie type. Yeah.
Did they work effectively?
The 19 set only partly. It was, you know, that was very, very, had to have a clear view all the time.
Yes, you had to have a clear line of sight.
Yeah. Otherwise, you when you had to go take cover, you couldn't use the 19 set.
What about the walkie-talkies? Did they work all right?
Yes, as long as we had batteries to them.
Yes.
But, you know, two of the walkie-talkies didn't take the swimming in through the sea, on the sea.
They didn't like the water?
No.
How many of those did you have? Did you have one per section of the walkie-talkie?
We had three in the platoon.
Yes, so it'd be about one per section, wouldn't it?
Yeah, three in the platoon, yes. Mm. That's right, yeah. So that was the first part, and then we were very, very proud and full of spirit. And we slept then, as I told you, on the side down that night. And the next morning we moved to Domburg. And on the southern outskirts of Domburg, same time as we got in, two of the German tanks which had been able to get ashore, they were also coming the same time as us to Domburg.
Had you done any training for cooperation with tanks?
No. Not at that time. And then when we reached Domburg, we got the message that the 45 and 48 commando moving south from the south side of the gap had come into very difficult trouble. So 41 Royal Marine had to be taken out. They was just staying on the southern outskirts of Domburg. They had to be taken out and brought in to help the group going south. So then the Belgians and we were left alone in Domburg to do the further movement on the three batteries further north.
What was the condition of Domburg when you were approaching it?
Domburg was more or less unhit of anything.
Hadn't been bombarded?
No, nothing at all. And when we got into Domburg, then we got in there in the morning and around about lunch, and we got information then from the 41 Royal Marine. They had been reconnaissing the town, and this was fully clear over that the town was full of snipers. And north of Domburg, there was another big battery, exactly the same as the one in Westkapelle.
The one you'd attacked already.
Yeah. So the first thing we got was told to do, and had to do, was to clear the town of Domburg for snipers. And then we have got two German tanks coming down for us. Or you know, Domburg is you can take Domburg as sort of a square from the sea side in, and then there is a side street going like this, and then there's a parallel street all the way through.
So they're running on around three sides of the square, and they're parallel.
Yeah, parallel on both sides.
Yes.
And then from the first row of houses on the street there is the battery. And then we decided that, all right, we're going to take this, clear this town of snipers. So the first thing to do is to cut off the connection with the troops on the north side of the town and the city itself. Then we put the Sherman tank on the end on the seaside, and he was covering that street, so anyone moving out there had no chance whatsoever. And then we decided that I was given that task, that we would have to clear this down. So we first of all figured that we cut off the connection with the enemy, with the troops, that one. Then we attacked this row of house going down with another Sherman tank covering the next street.
So you would take it one street at a time.
We take one street. That's the first. This first row of houses,
yes.
Not that.
And then the Sherman would actually backstop.
Yeah, stopped the connection on each side.
So that the enemy couldn't move forwards or backwards because the Sherman would have.
Yeah. We thought that first of all they were probably trying to get back to their own,
yes,
when they saw us coming up.
Of course.
So what we did actually, they didn't know that there was any covering for that, because Sherman up there had been firing a few times to clear that this street was covered.
Right.
So we moved in there with three groups full of all the sound we could bring. We used mill grenades. We shot all over the place through the houses, and if we saw any movement in the houses, we shot them, and a few of them started to, when they came up more or less over the half of the street, they started to move out in the street, and we shot those two.
How many did you have in each one of your groups?
Four.
So you've got three four-man groups?
Yeah.
And would you have one group to clear one house at a time?
No. We two groups in each houses. And then the next group moved, and they changed all the time from forward.
So you were leapfrogging them?
Yeah.
From house to house along the road?
Yes. And we destroyed what they called, we broke through places in the houses to get through.
Mm. The room. But you could break through from one house to the next?
Yeah, no, you had to get out most of the time.
Yeah.
But we could go through the small gardens between the houses and
all right.
And then we used lots and lots of ammunition.
Mm. Did you have a group in the street to deal with them?
No, Sherman did
the
that.
The tank was doing that,
yeah,
right.
But, you know, as soon as we saw some group moving out of the house, and we saw a lot of them taking off the white thing to surrender, all those moving out, we shot them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there was about eight being shot along this first route there. And then we started to move, took this Sherman tank we was covering back there, and moved them to one street in front of the other, preparing for the next move on the same trip. And then all of them gave out.
They all came out at once?
Yeah. Mm. They started to, not at once, but they started to move in the next three rows and came out. And then there were together 27 snipers who came out.
That's an awful lot of snipers.
Yeah. So they probably, I don't think what they have planned, but I suppose they have thought that we use a lot of forces and time to clear up that town.
Mm. Trying to impose a delay.
Yeah. Mm. And what we did actually, that took I think it took about an hour, not more than that.
What kind of weapons are these snipers using?
They had sniper rifles and more normal rifles.
Mm. Did you lose any men during this operation?
Nothing. Mm. Not even a wound or anything at all.
How would you actually go about clearing a house with a four-man group? What would they do?
They would move into the first floor, using a hand grenade before they move in.
So you put a grenade into the space and then you
follow
it in.
Then follow in and use lots of noise and lots of firing.
Mm.
Well, that makes it a hell of a thing then. And those keeping up on the higher floors, They don't know what to do when things like that, because they're not outside the street or where they can see them from the roof.
Mm.
They have them underneath them, and they can't fire anything against them underneath them. It's easier to fire from bottom up and then on sitting from the top and firing down the house. So
so you cleared the bottom floor first. And
yeah,
then
yeah. Then you moved up.
Then you go up the stairs.
Yeah. So there was no need to get, we also planned if necessary to go out on the roofs, but there was no real need for that.
Mm.
But what they've done, they found places on the second floor where they can cover from the upper windows and cover a great area of the town they could cover.
Yes. Were they deployed to give each other mutual support, these snipers?
I wouldn't know.
Mm.
No, they moved so fast. And we made so much noise that we didn't have control over what happening.
Mm.
So we were very proud of that. What happened after that? We were declaring that the Belgians came moving forward. Also, we declared that the town was free and saved. And the Belgians moved around, of course. And we had to keep one of the Germans sitting in to cover the connection with the battery forward, there's nothing moved there.
Mm.
And that night we went to sleep in the church of Domburg. And we slept on the first time we slept in the house, of course, there. And the people of Domburg had assembled all their fallen in the choir of the church. They were sitting there. And we were in the back of the church floor, sleeping on the floor, and so did the Belgian. Mm. And then suddenly the organ started to play. And then it shows that we had in my troop, actually, in my platoon, a person from Bergen who was in the Bergen theater called Dahl, and he could play the church organ.
Do you remember what he played?
Yes, he played an old hymn which were used to sing in the church.
A Lutheran hymn?
Yeah, Lutheran hymns, yes. And that was much, then of course you could hear quite a lot of sobbing and so on during that night. So we had a little bit of, I nearly said honesty in us.
Mm.
But you know, I felt, you know, after that I wouldn't say murder, but that rough handling of this clearing or street clearing, I was putting thoughts on if that was probably too rough.
Did you think you might have done the wrong thing, perhaps?
I didn't think. We hadn't come as far as discussing actually that what was allowed, and that we couldn't say that. But what was normal and what was rough enough.
Yes, rough justice, you could
rough
call
justice,
it.
Rough justice, yeah. Mm. But I think, well, if you think about it in that way, it saved a lot of people from our side here, absolutely sure. If we were going to seek out every sniper, all those who had hidden in that town, it would have cost us lots of people. I'm sure about it. Probably not so many killed, but many wounded would have cost us. Yeah.
Possibly more Germans would have died as well if they'd fought to the end.
Yeah, yes, I think so, yes. Taking it out, be rough with the first group, and that's put so much fright into the other group that they gave in.
Mm.
And another thing also which I've been thinking about is that they saw when we started this thing, they could see that we were green berets. That lid also did a lot of things I wanted. I'm quite sure about it. So Hitler did actually a good thing when he then in his headquarters then took through that if you caught the commando, he should be executed. That was Hitler's order.
Yes.
And
he said that the commandos were terrorists, didn't he?
Yeah. And he executed quite a few too. So, but none of number 10 commanders, as far as I've heard.
Mm.
So he had the right to do me because I've written underneath that I shouldn't fight him. So the next day in Valkeren, we had a day off, and we started off till we knew now that we and the Belgians should do the rest of the operations. We have done fairly big battery just north of Domburg, and then we had a smaller battery in the wood about 6 kilometers north of Domburg, and then we had this M battery, which is the big one, was the W19, mm-hmm. which also had the shooting frame for W1. So then we used the next day for recognition, and what was decided then between us and the Belgian was that this next battery that was going to be a task done by only one number five troop. So we looked at this battery, we used the whole day and tried to use a patrol room on the left or right hand side, but we decided to divide the job between us with one troop, both the platoons in our company. And we did follow more or less the same procedure or same plan as for the first battery in Westkapelle.
What was this new battery to the same pattern? Was it the standard German battery?
Yeah, well, exactly the same as in Westkapelle.
Right. So you're using the same methods because it worked at Westkapelle. So
find we should do was to let number one first platoon make a rush soon right over the battery and try to come up. There was a hill up to the north and come up on the top of the hill to the north of the battery. As soon as number one first platoon was through and had taken up that position, two platoon, that's our platoon, should move in from the south and try to get close on to the battery. And then we had to get through a fairly high and complicated wire connection to the south, and we blew that away with Bangalores.
Bangalore torpedo.
Yeah. And then we got through a gap. Some of them climbed down. You can see them using ladders and get over it. And we got into exactly more or less the same position as we had been in Westkapelle. Exactly, once we were getting in position there, first platoon was getting ready for coming from the north. And we started the same way, using hand grenades through all the holes and God knows what. And first platoon from the north, they first of all had to capture a building on the right-hand side. And then when the first grenade started to explode underneath and so on, they started to come out exactly as in these.
Did they try and stop you getting close by small arms fire?
No, there was no small arms fire. No one dared to come out in the open.
They didn't defend themselves.
No. So then they started to come out in small group first, and we just had to push them back. And we had then told the Belgians to be able to. They would take off the prisoners if we got them out and keep them there till we could send them back.
Sounds as though the Germans in this battery were demoralized almost before you arrived.
There's no doubt about that. Mm.
They didn't get any bombardment from your heavy support in advance.
To start with,
they did.
There had been, yes.
Yes, but on the day you assaulted them, did
no,
they?
No. 2 days before.
So you had no immediate fire support?
No.
So purely infantry attack?
We had a battery, or we had artillery support from the mainland.
You did?
But this was the absolute limit, the area. When we start there and into the wood further on, we couldn't get use of it anymore.
They couldn't get the range?
No. Mm.
What sort of artillery was that? Was it medium artillery, or was it the 25-pounder?
No, it was medium.
So about 5.5 inch?
Yeah.
Was that effective in...
Further south, I've been reading a report from 41 and the Royal Marine Commander doing this southern attacks. They couldn't have done anything if they hadn't had this battery artillery support from mainland.
Yes.
Because they could cover absolutely every area down there. Mm.
But they couldn't cover the whole of your area. On your own.
So... exactly, I think more than 200 prisoners came out of this battery up there. All then weeping and God knows whatever, or begging for themselves as soon as they came out, that we shouldn't shoot them or eat them or God knows what they wanted us to do. another strange thing was that when we got so easy now that we just marched down and then to the Benjamin.